The last fighters from the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces, or SDF, have left the Syrian city of Aleppo, following a ceasefire deal that allowed evacuations after days of deadly clashes. Around 150,000 people fled the city after it was bombed by Syrian government forces, in what they said were efforts to rid the city of SDF fighters. It comes as the United States and its partner forces carried out large-scale strikes against Islamic State targets in Syria in retaliation for an attack on US forces in December. Heidi Pett is an Australian journalist based in Syria who joins us from neighbouring Turkey. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
What is the situation on the ground in Aleppo at the moment?
So things have calmed down inside the city of Aleppo. Some civilians are returning to these two neighbourhoods. It's quite a unique situation of what's gone on there, which is that the sort of Kurdish-dominated SDF administration has had control of these two enclaves inside a city of 3 million since 2012, and they held on to those areas after the Assad regime fell. So for about a year now, the new government in Damascus has not been in control of these two neighbourhoods, and it's been a sort of continuing flashpoint in these wider negotiations about what's going to happen in northeastern Syria. But so now on the ground, you know, you've got large parts of Aleppo where there was no fighting at all, and then these neighbourhoods that had been evacuated, there we've got civilians returning to one of them and government forces kind of combing the other ones, still looking for, you know, weapons caches and tunnels and things like that, and checking that there's no remaining fighters after they had, you know, quite a quick victory, really.
So we know that around 150,000 people were displaced. Have they been able to return to Aleppo now?
No, not all of them. So we know that about 50,000 people from these mostly Kurdish neighbourhoods have gone to a neighbouring city called Afrin, which had a majority Kurdish population. Some of them are still displaced in shelters around the city of Aleppo, and a few of them are making their way back.
The Syrian government began bombing the city late last week in an effort, they said, to remove SDF forces. The SDF argued that it doesn't have a military presence in Aleppo and that this was an excuse to forcibly displace people. What do you make of that? Just explain for us those opposing sides.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated situation in that the Kurdish dominated administration, which runs northeastern Syria, also administers these neighborhoods. And so there's kind of two layers of security forces. There's the SDF, which is like the army, and then there's a force called the Asayish, which is basically like the police. And they say, you know, it's only Asayish, it's only the police inside these two neighborhoods in Aleppo. We don't have the equivalent of our military in there. The weapons that have been discovered and the military-type vehicles may give lie to that, but that's kind of an ongoing battle of semantics, I would say, about exactly what kind of armed men were running these neighbourhoods. And there's been exchanges of rocket fire and shelling sporadically over the last 12 months, but we saw that really ramp up over the last week when the Syrian government in the context of these negotiations that have completely stalled, decided, you know, enough is enough, we're going in and we're taking control of these two neighbourhoods.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm speaking to Heidi Pett, an Australian journalist based in Syria. Heidi, we've also seen US-led forces launching attacks on Islamic State targets across the country. Do we have a sense yet as to what impact they might have had?
Yeah, so what we know about this is that they've hit sort of weapons caches and caves and, you know, what they've described as ISIS positions in the Syrian desert. And that has happened again, you know, on a number of occasions, most recently in the immediate aftermath of that attack on US forces that were doing a joint patrol and holding a meeting with Syrian army in Palmyra last month. We don't have any numbers yet on, you know, whether any ISIS members were killed. In the past, there's been no announcements made about that, and it's been more about targeting these positions and sometimes about, you know, being seen to have done something about it, because the structure and the activities of ISIS in Syria have changed dramatically, since the big defeat in sort of 2018-19. They don't control large swaths of territory in the country anymore. What's happened is you had a few holdouts who had these positions in the Syrian desert, And then after the fall of the Assad regime, a lot of those guys, they actually moved from those positions into, you know, small groups of five or six men, and they, you know, they're holed up in apartment buildings in different Syrian cities around the place, and they're operating more like cells than, you know, than a big position of a concentration of people that can be bombed. So this is about, you know, cleaning up stocks of weaponry and sending a bit of a message.
And the Syrian Democratic Forces have for years been the main US partner in Syria in fighting against Islamic State. What's the current attitude of the Trump administration towards the SDF?
Complicated. And I would say that there is a degree of impatience there. You know, the SDF, they're in a very tricky position right now because the ground has shifted significantly under their feet. You know, they are used to receiving really, really significant US support in terms of intelligence, in terms of anytime they got into any kind of battle with ISIS, they were getting US air support, airstrikes being called in, things like that. And now that they're in this quite fractious relationship with the new authorities here in Damascus, I think they still assumed that that US support would be forthcoming and that if there was any military confrontation with the new government here, if, you know, if these negotiations about what happens to the territory they hold fail, that they would automatically have the backing of the coalition. And that's just not the case anymore. And so they're in quite a weak position. You know, Trump keeps threatening to withdraw troops. We saw a drawdown. We then saw that reversed. It's not clear, but I think what is clear is that they are being told to come to the negotiating table because they're not going to be backed up in the way that they have been in the past.
Heidi, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.